Mother was greatly preoccupied. It was well over a year since the king had resolved to have his marriage to the good queen annulled. It was not entirely on account of his notorious passion for Mistress Anne Boleyn. He needed a male heir, and he had convinced himself that his marriage was invalid. The whole kingdom had rocked with the scandal. Anne Boleyn was hated and lambasted, for public sympathy was with Queen Catherine. Mother felt deeply for her good mistress, and offered what emotional support she could when she was at court. But with the atmosphere so tense there, she said, she would rather be at home. "I just wish the Pope would rule in her favour," she said to Catherine, as they walked in the gardens on the first warm day of spring. "I wonder why he doesn't," Catherine said, her eyes on the green shoots pushing up through the earth. "Because he is afraid of the Emperor, who is the Queen's nephew and very powerful, but fears to offend the King. But His Holiness shouldn't be swayed by political considerations. He should judge the matter on its merits. To me, it seems that the Queen's case is sound. Her marriage is valid. All the doctors and clerics around her say so. But the King thinks otherwise." Mother shook her head. "Her Grace says that even if an angel came down from heaven, he would not be able to shift the king from his opinion. He is mad for this Anne. She queens it over the court. It's not right. When I think of our good mistress shut away in her apartments, weeping, I could smack him." Catherine had to smile, imagining Mother clouting the king. But it was a sad business. She was sure that something else was going on. Letters with unfamiliar seals kept arriving at Rye House, and Mother was writing more frequently to Uncle William, who was still with Richmond at Sheriff Hutton. Before March was out, Mother called Catherine into her bedchamber and bade her sit on the bench at the foot of the bed. She seated herself in the high-backed chair by the fire and regarded her daughter. "Catherine, you are 16 and ripe for marriage. You will be pleased to know that I have found you a husband. It is an excellent match that might make you a baroness in time. You are to wed Edward, the heir of Sir Thomas Burgh of Gainsborough." Catherine had never heard of Gainsborough or the Burgh family. They had not been mentioned among the noble kinsfolk to whom the Parrs were related. But she knew her duty, even though her thoughts had been plunged into a turmoil and her mind was teeming with questions. "That is very good news, my lady," she managed to say. "I am grateful for your care for me. What is he like, this Edward Burgh?" "By all reports, a promising young man," her mother said, beaming. "He is 4 years older than you. His father has hopes of being granted the barony of Burgh. The old lord who died last year used the title, although he had no right to it, for the barony borne by his forebears became extinct years ago. But I think he was a little mad." Catherine barely heard her. "Where is Gainsborough?" she wanted to know. "It's in Lincolnshire." "How far away is that?" She needed to hear that it was within visiting distance. Mother hesitated. "It is more than 130 miles to the northeast. Or so my messenger told me. At least 4 days' journey distant." Catherine's heart sank. She felt sick at the thought of leaving her mother and Rye House and going so far away. "I trust Sir Thomas Burgh is eager for this marriage?" She had not forgotten the odious Lord Scroope. "He is indeed," Mother assured her. "He has been active in arranging your betrothal, and I am indebted to him for it." She reached over and picked up her embroidery tambour from the table. "You need have no concerns, child. The Burghs are an old and respected family, and they have given good service to the crown over the years. You will like Sir Thomas, I am sure. His wife was a Tyrwhitt, and therefore distantly related to us. But she died 7 years ago, God rest her." Mother crossed herself. "She bore about 12 children, and I imagine that you will be expected to be a good sister to them." It was a daunting thought. 12 children. It might be a chaotic household. Mother had probably caught the dismay in her face. "Don't worry. They won't be your responsibility, as Sir Thomas has remarried, and I gather that Lady Alice is an excellent stepmother, and he is often at home. He told me he served as one of the King's bodyguard and was knighted on Flodden Field back in 1513, when we English trounced the Scots. But he has no desire to be a courtier, and prefers ruling his own domain. He has had much to do to restore the family fortunes after his father let things deteriorate. She paused. I do hope you are happy at the prospect of this marriage, Catherine. I would not force you into it. It wasn't the marriage that had brought the lump to Catherine's throat, but the thought of leaving her mother, which now seemed a worse thing than leaving Rye House. And yet Mother wanted this, saw it as more important than keeping her at home, and Mother had always wanted the best for her. I am happy, she made herself say. Thank you, my lady. You have done me proud.